Today is Friday, April 11th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump's Tariff Pullback and the Class Character of the Capitalist State by Patrick Martin. Donald Trump is the U.S. president, but he rules on behalf of a capitalist oligarchy. That is a basic political conclusion to be drawn from the events of the past 48 hours. The basic outline of events is clear. Trump initiated his plan to impose drastic tariffs on virtually every country in the world, declared that there would be no retreat, scoffed at the plunging markets, and maintained that now is, quote, a great time to invest, end quote. Only hours later, Trump was huddled with two billionaire advisors, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who conveyed the consensus on Wall Street that a financial catastrophe was imminent. As they pressed the case, Trump issued a statement on his Truth social media platform announcing a 90-day pause in his tariff war, except with China. That exception is of critical importance as the administration ramps up its economic warfare against China, the precursor to more direct forms of aggression. The temporary delay of most other tariffs, however, was a clear reversal on Trump's part. As the Financial Times headlined in its editorial on Thursday, quote, Donald Trump bends to the power of the markets, end quote. Prior to the reversal, a two-day sell-off on the stock market wiped out more than $6 trillion, with Apple alone losing $600 billion in market value and other tech companies, which manufacture the bulk of their products in South and East Asia, suffering equivalent losses. There was widespread denunciation of the tariffs by corporate America, but Trump and his top aides declared that the crisis would abate and that the ultimate result of the tariff policy would be Trump's proclaimed new golden age for American capitalism. Even more significant than the plunge in stock prices was the spread of the financial panic into the bond market on Monday and Tuesday, with the tariffs set to actually take effect Wednesday morning. Particularly critical was the impact on the market for U.S. Treasury bills at $28 trillion, the world's largest in the benchmark for financial transactions worldwide. Trump watched the bond market fall Tuesday, saying, quote, I saw last night where people were getting a little queasy, end quote. He acknowledged watching an interview Wednesday morning, given by JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, to Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business, in which Dimon said that a recession was a likely outcome of the tariff hikes. He warned, quote, I'm taking a calm view, but it could get worse, end quote. There were blunter comments. Thomas Lee, a managing partner and the head of research at Fundstrat Global Advisors, sent a memo Wednesday, quoted on Quartz, that many fund managers worried that the White House was not acting rationally. Lee wrote, quote, some even fear that this may not even be ideology. A few have quietly wondered if the president might be insane, end quote. There was considerable concern that the Fed would have to step in this week to deal with the crisis, not caused by a bank panic or a virus pandemic, but by a policy decision of the U.S. president, one which called into question not merely the value of this or that investment, but the stability of the U.S. government and the role of the U.S. dollar as the foundation of global capitalism. An editorial in the Washington Post warned, quote, in times of panic, these bonds usually attract investors. Their failure to do so this time reflected declining confidence that the U.S. government would repay its debts, end quote. The newspaper, owned by billionaire Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, cited the cautionary tale of the 2022 collapse of the British government after Prime Minister Liz Truss pushed through a program combining tax cuts with heavy borrowing. This touched off a financial panic that threatened the collapse of pension funds and forced her to retract her program. A few weeks later, she was out of office altogether. The events of the past week provide a searing exposure of the class foundations of the capitalist state. The quote-unquote invincible Donald Trump crumbled in the face of the demands of the bond market and Jamie Dimon. Wall Street needed a course correction, and it got one. The trillions in market losses and the tremors in the Treasury market were enough to force a sudden, if temporary, retreat. The Democratic Party has portrayed Trump as an unstoppable political colossus. It pleads helplessness in the face of his dismantling of democratic rights, his trade war policies, his fascistic proclamations. Why? Because they share the same class interests. The Democrats, no less than the Republicans, serve the financial oligarchy and will not mount any genuine opposition to policies that defend its wealth and global position. This reality was made even more stark by the contrast between Wall Street's influence and the utter disregard shown to the mass demonstrations that swept the country on April 5th. Millions took to the streets to oppose Trump's authoritarianism, his war drive, his attacks on immigrants, workers, and the Constitution itself. While the movements on the markets are the subject of endless commentary, the mass protests were treated by the media as a minor, even local issue, which disappeared quickly as if they'd never happened. The Trump administration is not the personal creation of one man, but the political instrument of a capitalist oligarchy. The destruction of democratic rights is not merely the outcome of Trump's authoritarian impulses, but the conscious reconfiguration of the state to reflect the social reality of class rule by a tiny elite. There are fierce conflicts within the ruling class, but they are conflicts within the oligarchy, over how best to preserve its dominance and suppress rising social opposition. From the class character of the capitalist state flows an inescapable conclusion. The working class must break with all factions of the ruling class and take up the fight to overthrow it. New forms and structures of genuine participatory democracy, arising in the course of revolutionary mass struggles and representative of the working class majority, must be developed as the foundations of a workers' government. That is, a government of the workers, by the workers, and for the workers, in the U.S. and throughout the world, as the basis for the socialist reorganization of economic life. Wall Street tumbles again as euphoria gives way to fear, by Nick Beams. The fall on Wall Street resumed yesterday after the White House clarified that the tariff on China was 145%, not 125%, as previously indicated, and the vast implications of a full-scale economic war between the world's number one and number two economies started to sink in. The 125% impost was made up of a so-called reciprocal tariff, plus measures in response to China's retaliation. It came on top of the 20% tariff hike announced before Trump's so-called Liberation Day of April 2nd. After the euphoria of Wednesday, when stock prices soared on the back of the announcement that there would be a 90-day pause in the imposition of reciprocal tariffs on a host of countries, reaching as high as almost 50% in some cases, the market came back down to earth with a jolt. The S&P 500 dropped 3.5% after a 9.5% surge the previous day. The tech-heavy NASDAQ index fell 4.3%, following its best day since 2001, and the Dow was down by 2.5%. In currency markets, an index of the U.S. dollar against a basket of a dozen of its peers fell 1.9% amid growing questions about what the economic war means for its status as the global reserve currency. The events of the past week have made ever clearer that the focus of the economic war is directed against China, and the thrust of any so-called negotiations with other countries will be to demand that they align themselves with U.S. quote-unquote national security objectives, or face major tariff hikes once the 90-day pause expires. Jim Cramer, one of the panelists on the morning show of the business channel CNBC, commented that references to tariff hikes against China should be shelved because what was being imposed was an embargo, that is, a total blockade of Chinese goods. Economists at Deutsche Bank have referred to a, quote, disorderly decoupling between the world's largest economies, end quote. Others have put it more strongly. Capital Economics said Chinese exports to the U.S. could more than halve in the coming period. Analysts at Société Générale said China's exports to the U.S., quote, will be largely wiped out, end quote, due to the tariff increases. The effects are already being seen. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, daily container bookings in the U.S.-China trade route have fallen by a quarter since the end of March compared to a year ago. It said some U.S. importers had temporarily halted inbound shipments, while others were storing them at warehouses to await clarifications before paying the tariffs. There are a growing number of reports, even before the full effects of the tariffs hit home, of the economic damage they have already caused in both China and the U.S. The chief executive of a U.S. company which makes kitchenware and home products sourced in China, India, and Cambodia for sale by Walmart, Target, and others in the U.S., told the Journal he had already lost $10 million in canceled orders and expected more to come. The chaos that has been unleashed was highlighted in a Financial Times article that reported on shipping companies canceling orders and warning of growing disruption in coming weeks. An unnamed source in the Shanghai freight industry told the FT, quote, "We are seeing now a tremendous amount of cancellations. There's just so much uncertainty that people are pulling containers. At the moment, we have a new order of about 100 containers that's supposed to go into Houston, and all that's on hold. The situation changes almost hourly," end quote. While Trump, his cabinet members, and acolytes more broadly are claiming that Wednesday's pause was all part of some master plan to bring U.S. trading partners to plea for negotiations, the real reason was that the financial system was on the edge of a breakdown as serious as that of 2008 and March 2020, or even greater. In an editorial yesterday pouring cold water on the claim that Trump's retreat was all part of a grand negotiating strategy, the FT said that, quote, "the key factor was surely the precipitous slide in the markets, above all the mighty U.S. government bond market," end quote. In his announcement of the quote-unquote pause, Trump did say people had become a little queasy. But as the editorial commented, this was a lesson in understatement. Quote, the U.S. government bond market avoided a disaster, but it came close. A reliable rule of investment is that when crisis strikes, treasuries act as a safety valve by offering a risk-free retreat, so prices rise. After Trump's tariffs, this function failed and bonds fell. End quote. The editorial also turned to the issue of the status of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. It noted that, with the U.S. having compromised its safe haven status, two of the most reliable buyers of U.S. government debt, Japan and China, may start to sell treasuries or, quote, tap the brake on further purchases, end quote. In fact, China has already been running down its holdings of U.S. debt for some time. Trump's economic war has placed front and center the issue of the very functioning of the international monetary system. Since August 15, 1971, and President Nixon's withdrawal of the gold backing from the dollar, it has been a fiat currency. That is, it has no foundation in real value but has depended on the power of the American state. But that state is now in an economic and financial crisis. The explosion of government debt to $36 trillion and rising at what is universally considered to be an unsustainable rate being only one indication. This underlying crisis has now been brought to a new peak of intensity by Trump's actions. His thrashings this way and that are an expression of the existential crisis of the capitalist system itself, while at the same time exacerbating it. As the editorial noted, quote, Trump's blunderbuss efforts to reset global trade rattled all the pillars of the reserve currency, stability, reliability, robust policymaking, and the rule of law, end quote. And bond markets responded with a clear warning that the dollar's reserve status is not an immutable given. The growing lack of confidence in the dollar is expressed in the rise of the gold price. After a brief downturn in the market sell-off, its surge has resumed and is almost daily reaching record highs, having risen 7.5% in the last 48 hours. These processes, racing out of the control of the ruling classes and its agencies to contain them, threaten to wipe out vast structures of wealth based on the dollar and massive credit mountains. The breakdown of the capitalist system is not a prospect for the future. It is already underway, and there's no solution within its framework. This poses the historic challenge to the international working class to resolve the existential crisis of the outmoded and reactionary profit system by means of the fight for world socialism. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.